Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are joined on the show this morning by Dr. Donald Stern, the acting director with the Rappahannock Area Health District. Good morning, Dr. Stern. Good to have you here this morning once again.
Yes, thank you, Ted. Good morning to you.
It's Friday, so it must be a chance to talk to Dr. Stern. I notice on the roadways and I see in different areas a lot more people than just even a week ago. Or as we look at the numbers, it seems like you always tell us to look at the to not only look at the numbers of people who are testing positive, but also the hospitalization numbers. And since we talked last week, it seems to go up at least one a day, it seems, over the last few days.
Yes, Ted. I believe that there is a correlation between the increased activity we see in our communities. Yes, you've noticed the increased amount of traffic, that is, people out and about. And our numbers are going up. When we count the number of new positive COVID-19 cases, yesterday we reported the highest number for any single day, 38 new cases reported yesterday. Now, our report also showed yesterday three new hospitalizations. Now, I will note in our report, we'll report those hospitalizations when they get reported to us, but a couple of those hospitalizations may have actually been put in the hospital the day before, or the day before that. So we track those hospitalizations based on the date of hospitalization. But I don't always know today that somebody got hospitalized yesterday or the day before that. So we put them in our table on the day we find out about them. But our graphic that we send out is based on the date they're hospitalized, and it's going up now again. Ted, this concerns me. So no offense, Ted, but you make me sick. Stay home, folks who are ill. The major contributor to this is that people are getting infected. Of course. Much of that may be asymptomatic disease, and I'll give those folks some grace. But those who are ill should not be going to work, should not be associating with other folks, should not be going to visit grandmother. They need to stay home. The problem with that is it could start out in a very subtle fashion, as we've talked about before. You know, this dry cough that some people assume is just their allergies kicking in or maybe a mild cold. Well, I ask people to use their what I call reasonable practicality. Think about it. So if you think it's your allergies, what are the other symptoms you usually have with your allergies? Red and itchy eyes, maybe. a little runny nose, maybe. This could start out very COVID-19 can start out as a very subtle dry cough, and that's it, without the other symptoms associated with allergies. So if you get these early signs and symptoms of COVID-19, stay home. You're making me sick.
That is a great look, though, at it. There are some subtle differences if you've got allergies, I'm glad you mentioned that. I had never thought of that. So, be smart about this now, and know that this is out there. It's in the community, and if you have it, you need to stay home.
Right. And Ted, again, you know, our major concern has to do with those who are going to suffer more substantial illness and the more severe or critical form of COVID-19 disease. So we're talking again about the elderly, those who are over 50, 60 years of age, and particularly with some form of underlying medical condition. Those folks are at higher risk for suffering a severe form of this illness. And exactly why that happens hasn't been figured out yet. I mean, why does this virus seem to injure those folks more than others? You know, it's similar to the flu. The flu does something very similar. It seems to impact elderly and those with underlying disease more so. And it has to do with the function and the responsiveness of our immune system. However, you know, I've been saying, Ted, that this is yet a different virus. It's not flu. It's a different type of virus because children, you know, handle it pretty well. But you may have seen that in New York, appears to be this kind of new inflammatory response that may be associated with COVID-19. They found that most of those children in New York that have been coming into the hospital with very high fevers and rash-like syndrome and clearly an inflammatory response to something, that most of them are COVID-19 positive. Both their PCR and their antibody tests are positive. Hmm. So does this disease impact children? None of those children have died that I know of yet. They are recovering, but there may be yet something to learn about COVID-19.
Is that normal when you're dealing with something like this, that you can start seeing some of these abnormalities in other areas, and it kind of morphs into something else?
Well, is that usual? Ted, we're dealing with a new novel virus that we've not had experience with before, so I can't say it's usual. I think the scientific community, the medical community, needs to be conscious of that possibility. If you remember HIV in the early 80s, oh my, people were showing up with all these strange illnesses, pneumocystis coronae, this single-cell organism that you know, many of us have in our lungs, but it doesn't cause any problem. But what HIV did was it suppressed the immune system, so the immune system couldn't fight it, and it would explode and cause this remarkable pneumonia. And other Kaposi sarcoma, this rare tumor that early on in the 80s, many people with HIV were suffering from this type of tumor. Mm-hmm. These are kind of unusual findings. I wouldn't call it usual. I'd call it unusual.
Yeah.
And for COVID-19, are we going to see some unusual things? That may be what we're seeing in New York, is this unusual inflammatory response to the COVID-19 organism in very young children, most of whom are under 5 years of age. So, folks, you're making me sick. Stay home if you're ill.
Do you have concerns about this weekend being Mother's Day and people deciding, you know, we've made it this far, we can do this or that, and just the fact because it's Mother's Day of people maybe even traveling more and being around people who might be more vulnerable?
Ted, that's a fair question, you know, and these are kind of difficult decisions. I just, again, ask people to use reasonable practicality. You understand how the disease is transmitted, and I'm not going to recommend that folks stay away from mom, but if you're sick, stay away from mom.
Yeah.
Make those gatherings smaller. If one person out of 50 in a 50 family gathering is sick or has COVID-19, they could pass that on to many folks in the group. So police yourself and police others in your group. You know, the other thing you could do is folks could wear a mask. That would be helpful because masks don't protect you, but they protect others. And so you should have concern for others, put on a mask, and enjoy the weekend.
Dr. Donald Stern here, the acting director with the Rappahannock Area Health District. We will be back and continue on this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Donald Stern here this morning, the acting director with the Rappahannock Area Health District. As we talk about things that are going on right now in the region every day, Dr. Stern, when I see, because for about the last week or so, you've been looking at 30 some new cases a day, probably on average, and we've talked about it before, the whole case contact and how you do the tracing of that's a lot of work. And I look at that and I think, you don't have that big of a staff to be doing all the work that you're having to do right now.
There's a limited capacity. You know, so many people can only do so much work. And we are looking forward to the opportunity to bring on board some new staff. The state has developed a plan and actually in the process of recruiting folks throughout the state. To join local health department teams to do this type of investigation and case contact tracing. But the numbers are going up. Ted, you mentioned 30 new cases a day. And, you know, again, the question may be, well, that's just because people are accessing testing more readily and able to determine that they have COVID-19 disease, whether asymptomatic, mild, moderate. But it's more than just testing. I think the disease is penetrating more into the community because if you look at the hospitalization data, that's starting to go up again. And that's pretty sensitive. That I think the hospital data is the most sensitive to how this disease is impacting our community. And when I start seeing people, more and more people suffering from the severe form of this disease, that tells me the disease is penetrating more again into our community.
Boy, for you to say that kind of stops me in my tracks, because it was 2 weeks ago today when we talked, and I was very encouraged as you were looking at the numbers and you said, we're not out of the woods yet, but you can see blue sky in the horizon. To say that it's, you know, penetrating the community, and you've said all along, it is, you know, we know how it spreads and it's in the community, but for you to talk about it penetrating the community and just looking at these numbers, it's still serious, even though we're talking about opening up.
Well, you said stop, this makes you stop in your tracks. I hope it makes your listeners stop in their tracks and think about, do I really need to go out and do this? Do I need to really gather or put other people at risk because I may have COVID-19. Again, a substantial amount of this disease is asymptomatic. There's an interesting study that came out of California done by the University of Southern California in the LA area. They did a random sample, a sample of citizens in the community. I believe it was about 800 citizens that they selected randomly, and this wasn't volunteer, so it wasn't self-selected. It was about 800 folks who were tested for COVID-19 using the antibody test. Now, the antibody test is a blood test that reveals one's internal defense system response to the presence of COVID-19, and that is our immune system. There's a protein that appears in the blood, which is that armor, that weapon against the virus once one is exposed to the virus. Well, they found, I believe, 4% of the population had this antibody present. So that study was suggesting that COVID-19 is actually present probably 25 times more than what we're finding from our positive tests. That's much higher than what I've been saying for the last several weeks. I've been saying that's probably five times higher in our community, because we know that 80% of the disease from prior studies, 80% of the disease is asymptomatic, mild to moderate disease. This study showed that lots of people apparently have had COVID-19 and don't even know it. And those people can spread the disease. You can be an asymptomatic carrier of this virus. So that's why it's important for folks to put on their masks. I was impressed being, I'll admit I've gone out, had to pick up some stuff at Lowe's in the grocery store, and I wear my mask everywhere I go when I'm around people. I don't wear it in the car. I don't wear it when I go on a run. I don't wear it when I'm by myself.
Yeah.
But when I'm around other people, I put on my mask. Well, I'm surprised, frankly, to see people in amongst groups of other people without a mask. That kind of tells me either they don't know what they're doing or they don't care about other people. You ought to put on a mask when you're around other people.
I have seen in being around town, it seems like more and more are doing it. But like you say, not everybody does it. It's especially when you're around people, and it is a concern now because we're starting to learn more and more about this.
Well, and Ted, of course, as we talked earlier, most people are going to handle this disease fairly well. So what's the big deal? The big deal is, for me right now, is this upswing in hospitalizations. Now, it's not overwhelming our local hospitals. Their capacity exceeds the current demand. But what we don't want to have happen is for this uptake in COVID-19 hospitalizations to overwhelm our hospital capacity to handle those patients. We don't want to see what happened, like what happened in some of the European countries. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to provide that medical care for people who really get severely ill.
Well, you have stopped me in my tracks now twice this morning with the penetrating in the community, and I have been quoting you all week in talking about about the numbers, and you mentioned last week that you thought it was about five times what it was. It was probably five times higher. To know that it's likely even more so, that should make you want to wear a mask when you're out in public and around people.
Exactly. Yes, sir. You're making me sick. Stay home if you're ill. But see, again, for those who have asymptomatic disease, the thing you could do, since you and I feel fine, we don't know if we have the disease,
right?
Wash our hands, use hand sanitizer, and wear our mask. That's how we could really help other folks.
Well, and I was called out this week. I came home. I had gotten gas, and then I don't live too far from the gas station. So I went home, went straight home, and went and washed my hands. And
yeah.
My wife called me out and said, "You didn't go back. You didn't do it long enough." She said, "You did about half the amount of time." And she was counting. And I got the lecture of, "We've made it this far. Let's not start to feel that we can loosen up on things." And I think it's a good reminder, because I then thought back that I think over the last week I have felt like you just start feeling like, well, things are going to open up and things are going to be back to normal. Unfortunately, we're not back to that. There's the normal that we used to know. We're a long ways from that.
That's correct, Ted. People. Should just count to 20 when you wash your hands. I think most people will find that they probably spend half that amount of time routinely washing their hands. It's just a good practice. Count to 20 while you wash your hands.
And keep wiping down surfaces. We know to do all these things, and we've been, many of us have we've done well as a community, but we can't let up now.
Well, and this, Ted, is a good reminder, a good opportunity for us just to remind folks how they can protect themselves and how they can protect others from this disease. And as things begin to open up, that simply presents the virus that much more of an opportunity to move from person to person. This is a person-to-person transmitted disease through respiratory droplets, through coughing, singing, talking. Those droplets come out of our mouth or respiratory tree and through the air to the person who's next to you. Now, we've been saying social distancing means 6 feet or further away. You're less likely to transmit the disease if you stay that far away from other folks. But it's also transmitted on contact surfaces. So as we've discussed before, you know, somebody walks in who's COVID-19 positive, has the virus on their hands, touches a doorknob. The next person that comes along touches that doorknob and can pick up the virus. It has to get into the mucous membranes. It has to get in the nose, mouth, eyes, and that's how this disease is transmitted.
We should probably mention, we forgot to last week, but and to mention that the Rappahannock Area Health District, you have a number that people can call if for questions and that kind of thing, 540-899-4797 between 8 and 4:30. And if people do have questions, you've got people there that can answer them.
Yes, sir. We're available during regular work hours and available to medical providers and emergency services folks on a 24-hour basis.
540-899-4797. Dr. Donald Stern, the acting director with the Rappahannock Area Health District, our special guest. We'll continue on when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Donald Stern in with us this morning, the acting director with the Rappahannock Area Health District. Dr. Stern, I've had a question came in to me this week, and it was about living with someone who's vulnerable. In this case, the woman who contacted me said she was healthy, her husband was vulnerable, and her question is, as things open up, and as we get out into society, how should I deal with that? Because she was concerned, should she continue to voluntarily self-quarantine just because she was living with someone who was vulnerable?
Oh, boy, that's a very good question, Ted. And I appreciate folks who pay attention to others and have others' interests in mind. Those who are living with vulnerable, and I live with my wife is about my age. She's in her mid-60s, and she's had just finished cancer chemotherapy. So we've been mindful of this. Now, I will admit, we have not kept our 10 grandkids away necessarily, but we're very careful about this. I've asked my children to say if anybody is sick, just don't bring them. And no touching, no kissing, no hugging. We're social distancing. I didn't want to keep them totally away, but we were very careful. We've been very careful. And it's worked out fine. When you have somebody vulnerable in the house and you have to go in and out, then, again, apply the principle of reasonable practicality. Understanding how this virus is transmitted, let's say you're asymptomatic, but you could have the virus. So probably the most important thing is washing your hands. I don't know how many times we've said this, probably 1,000 times in the last 3 weeks, huh, Ted?
I would say yes.
It's such a valuable practice just to wash our hands frequently. But then coming into the home, you may want to take off your clothes, wash your clothes immediately, change your clothes. Those who have a vulnerable member in the household should be paying more attention to wiping down contact surfaces as well. And again, part of this is about social distancing. So does that mean staying away from that vulnerable person? certainly if you have any kind of symptoms associated with COVID-19, you need to find someplace else to stay. You need to call a family member, go to a hotel, find someplace else to stay, because this disease is easily transmitted. And if you're living with somebody who's vulnerable, you put them at risk if you have COVID-19.
Would that also include maybe even going an extra step even and having someone else do shopping for you or consciously staying away from situations that you just think that there might be too many people or there might be a chance that you could come into contact with something?
Sure, Ted, that's a good idea. Those are practical steps someone could take, is reduce your risk of exposure because you have somebody vulnerable in your household. Now, people question me, what in the world am I doing, working in public health, coming back to work 2 months ago to help with this COVID-19 issue, when my wife's on cancer chemotherapy? Well, you know, I don't have my hands on COVID-19 patients. It's not like the medical providers in the hospital or the medical community who's face-to-face with these folks. My work is primarily working with a team of public health staff who are also very careful about coming to work and not being sick. you know, we wear masks when we're in the office together. We do our meetings over the phone. So I'm not, and I'm not working directly with COVID-19 patients. My staff do over the phone. They don't, you know, our investigations and contact tracing is primarily done over the phone. So I don't feel like I'm having that substantial of an exposure, and my wife is comfortable with that. And that's something people, you know, you should talk about with your mate. Particularly if there's a vulnerable person in the household, have this conversation and think about how this disease is transmitted and apply reasonable practicality in your lifestyle, reducing your risk of exposure, and then reducing the possibility of exposing that other person, washing hands, cleaning contact surfaces, not sharing the same towel or other bathroom items. In fact, use a different bathroom if you can.
That is a good idea. That I never thought of. But if you've got the opportunity to do that, especially if it's just a couple of, if there's just the two of you living together, maybe you do that. Just to separate and again reduce the exposure.
Yes, sir.
Well, and I know, I mean, my wife and I have talked about how we want to go through and stay as safe as possible, just so we don't. I've read enough about what happens when a person is hospitalized, and our thing is we want to stay together. We don't want to be in that. We don't want to be one of those stories or have to talk about dropping someone off, because in some of the extreme cases the disease it's just something you don't, if you don't have to, you don't want to have to come in contact with it.
Well, yeah, that's a good point, Ted. I can't imagine having to drop my wife off and leaving her at the hospital.
Yeah.
And not being able to be with her. So people need to be careful. You know, this can be a serious disease, particularly for the elderly and those with underlying medical conditions. And those are the folks we need to protect right now.
Dr. Donald Stern here, the acting director with the Rappahannock Area Health District. Last week we talked, and we talked a little bit about the situation with the Spotsylvania grocery store. We've seen Heritage Hall in another facility this week. And I thought when we were talking about it last week, you brought up the point that those are situations in the community. And it again shows that in the community, the COVID-19 continues to move around, you know, we know how it's spreading. It is spreading. It's in the community. As you've said, it's penetrating the community, and we just can't let our guard down at any time.
That's right. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, my theme today is you make me sick, stay home. I understand why people may feel compelled to go to work, even if they have, you know, some mild symptoms. They may be mistaken that this is a cold or an allergy or whatever, but they need to be mindful that they put other people at risk. But, you know, some people, it's a real dilemma when you have to weigh out, am I going to go to work, maybe a little bit sick, I'll put on a mask, or am I going to stay home and not have any income and not be able to buy food and pay my rent? And the economic pressure, the pressure on folks to make sure they're providing for their family, for many, I think, outweighs their the importance of protecting others in the workplace. It's a dilemma, and I understand that, but you're making me sick. You need to stay home if you're ill.
And as you have said, because a lot of people do struggle with the with the mask, and you and others have been very good about talking about the fact that you're wearing that mask to protect others, because we don't know. You and I could be walking around and carrying it and not know it. And so you're wearing that mask to help others.
That's correct, sir. Yes, sir.
Dr. Donald Stern with the Rappahannock Area Health District here this morning. So you've talked about the fact that, you know, a lot of times it will start with the dry cough. Generally, it's a novel virus, and you know we're still learning. Usually, does a fever go along with it? I don't know if the fever's first or if it's second, but usually you have the cough and the fever.
Usually, the fever may come days after that onset of those respiratory symptoms.
Oh, okay.
You know, this mild, subtle cough, which would clearly be a different cough. I'm not talking about, oh, I just coughed one time today. This would be a persistent cough, a dry cough. You know, the CDC website talks about shortness of breath, but that usually doesn't come immediately. People don't suddenly have this overwhelming illness. It usually starts out very subtle, and those symptoms develop over a period of time, and I'm talking about days. Then a little fever, maybe some chills, muscle pain, sore throat, and some more unusual symptoms. I remember one patient telling me the day before my fever, I lost my appetite. And she didn't think much of it, but that was COVID-19. These folks will have a loss of taste, a loss of appetite. Next thing you know, you got a fever. You're feeling ill, fatigue, muscle pain, and you test positive for COVID-19. The problem is then is once it really kicks in, particularly for the elderly and those with underlying medical conditions, once this virus kicks in and starts the inflammatory process in the lungs, it can progress very rapidly. It's one of the characteristics of this disease as compared to flu. This is not the flu. It's a different disease because these folks can crash very quickly where they go from, you know, they end up in the hospital, then on a little bit of oxygen, a liter of oxygen through a nasal cannula, then up to 2 liters in a few hours. Next thing you know, you're up to 5 liters and then having to put somebody on a ventilator within a few hours. So it can be very challenging for the clinician to care for these patients. My job is to keep folks out of the hospital by preventing the spread of this disease in our community. And that's why you and I are talking is we're not talking about how to treat this disease. We're talking about how to prevent its spread. And that's what everybody in our community can participate in. Everybody can help with this disease by preventing its spread. And those are the themes we continue to talk about. Washing your hands, wearing your mask, use hand sanitizer, social distance. Stay at home if you're sick.
I knew that's where you were going. I've gotten to where I know the progression because it's, and I think we all have to think about that and do it, and especially the staying home, because it you know, apparently that's. You know, if you just think, I can make it. This is so much different than if you've got a cold or something. Of, you know, let me push through today. If you're not feeling good, stay home.
Yeah, right. And as we're talking about symptoms too, Ed, one of the things that we're learning about this disease is that it can be very subtle and different for folks. One of the things we've learned about folks in long-term care centers, it can present as just a mild change in mentation or mental activity, maybe a little bit of diarrhea. So we're asking long-term care facility staff to be just a little bit more sensitive to changes in your patients, in their symptoms. That is, does Miss Jones just not feel like getting out of bed today? Is she feeling a little bit more fatigued? She seems a little bit more confused today. Check a temperature. You know, ask her how. Has she got something else going on? Is she having any burning when she urinates? Is she having any diarrhea? Folks need to be a little bit more sensitive, particularly to the elderly and those who are frail, who have underlying disease, because their symptoms may even be a little bit more subtle on the onset of COVID-19.
For the person who has it and is able to stay home and doesn't have the severe form of it, do they drink a lot of fluids? I have heard from, and I know some people who've had it, and it hasn't been, you know, they haven't had to be hospitalized, but they have said it doesn't feel anything like the flu, that it took a lot more out of them than the flu ever has.
Ted, yes, most of the folks who require isolation because of this disease, that is, most of the folks who have COVID-19 positive laboratory results, they've been able to isolate at home. It doesn't necessarily put you in the hospital, but even those who are isolated at home may not feel well. I mean, the fever, the inflammatory process that's caused by this virus makes you feel ill. And yes, drink lots of fluids. People should eat a reasonable diet while they're ill. Use antipyretics, acetaminophen, ibuprofen, other medications that you know work for you to reduce the fever. And, you know, those anti-inflammatory drugs, Aleve or ibuprofen, Motrin, those can also reduce the effects of the inflammatory process.
Dr. Donald Stern here this morning, the acting director with the Rappahannock Area Health District. We will wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Donald Stern, the acting director of the Rappahannock Area Health District this morning. One quick question for you, Dr. Stern. Someone sent in a question and asked, how is it that a mask protects others but not the wearer?
Sure, Ted. You know, think about, again, how this disease is transmitted through respiratory droplets from the infected person to other people who are not infected. Well, research on the use of masks, there's some very good data on the effectiveness of masks, looking at both the uninfected person, does it protect them if they wear a mask, versus the infected person, does it protect others if they wear a mask? And the data on that's fairly clear, that the mask prevents that person who's ill from their respiratory droplets from spreading out further in the area around them. So it prevents the virus from spreading out from the ill person. But for the person who's wearing a mask who is not ill, that is, who does not have the virus, it doesn't really add to their protection. The reason why we ask people to put on a mask is because they may be infected and spreading the virus to others. Even when you're asymptomatic. So that's kind of weird well, I'm not sick, so why should I put on a mask?
Right.
Because you maybe have the asymptomatic form of the disease, so put on a mask so that it prevents the spread of the virus to other people.
Before we get out of here this morning, just a couple minutes left. But again, one of the bigger stories that we talked about this week was the Heritage Hall outbreak in King George. And we've talked before about how you've worked with nursing facilities, and I'm sure you were involved in this one.
Yes, we're very much so involved, and I must say I'm very proud of the folks at Heritage Hall, and they're taking a very aggressive approach towards protecting their residents and protecting their staff. I think they've done everything right. We've spent quite a bit of time discussing this issue with them, and they've agreed to have the National Guard come in today, and we're going to be doing testing for all the residents and all their employees today. And this is, this is a coup for us to be able to get the National Guard to come in. Their National Guard has. The governor's asked them to stand up teams to help communities for doing this testing. We've been successful at getting them scheduled, and I'm very pleased that they're able to help us. They're doing this all over the state. It's not just us. It's not, it's not like this a grand emergency that call in the National Guard. They are standing up expert teams and doing testing. They got a process that they employ and are coming to help augment our staff. And basically, they're going to do all the testing, and they'll go on to the next community and the next community. My thanks to the National Guard, and Heritage Hall is handling this very well. And we should have the results soon and be able to help then use that data to further decide how we might prevent the spread of COVID-19 in that facility.
Dr. Donald Stern, thank you once again. I will remember all week that you told me that you make me sick. And so that will be what stays with me. Thanks for what you and really all of your staff with the Rappahannock Area Health District doing great work. And we will talk to you soon. Stay safe, my friend.
Thank you. You too, Tim.
That's it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening.
Thanks
see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.